I want to say how wonderful it is to be here with so many people I've known through the peace movement for many, many years. It's a wonderful feeling of welcome to be among you again. Thank you. The children's story was really part of this sermon. And rather than it being a sermon, I'd like it to be interactive thinking. I'd like it to be a conversation. So I'll begin by talking about Motai Nai as a term. I learned this when I went to Japan. As Pat mentioned, my book came out in Japanese because the doctors in Japan loved it in English and said it was going to be their anniversary project of recognizing 50 years of social action. So they published the book in Japanese a year after it came out in English, and I went to do a speaking tour over there. At the end of each visit to a university, the translator who was accompanying me would go around, we'd gather up all of the papers, and each time they assigned a new young interpreter to me, so I got to know about seven of them. And this young woman, on the last one, when I was picking up the papers, she said, "Ah, Motai Nai." And I said, "What is Motai Nai?" And she said, "Oh, it's a very important Japanese notion that we must not waste our resources." But she said, "It's far more than that." I'll give you the actual translation from Wikipedia. It's a Japanese term meaning a sense of regret concerning waste when the intrinsic value of an object or resource is not properly utilized. And Buddhists traditionally use the term Motai Nai to indicate regret at the waste or misuse of something sacred or highly respected, such as religious objects or teaching. Today, the word is widely used in everyday life to indicate the waste of any material object, time, or other resource. But in fact, it has a much fuller meaning than that. It means you have only this one time on the planet. We assume we have only this one time. How do we use this time without waste? And that's why I read the little meditation about don't waste time, do nothing. In other words, do a meditation that brings you into total awareness. And I'd like us just to think for a minute about what then is wasting time. If doing nothing is not wasting time, how can you waste time here? And I'd love your comments back. I'm not an essence of wisdom up here. I'm just telling you some of these ideas that percolate around the whole concept of Motai Nai. Anybody?
I would think that they can look at the banana bread for a friend is not wasting time, but scrubbing baseboards probably is.
Oh, I love that. Did you hear that? Okay, she said, baking a loaf of banana bread for a friend is not wasting time, but scrubbing baseboards probably is. I love that. You'll get the microphone. Okay, so anybody else? Yes, back over here. I love that. So if we're not fully engaged, we're wasting what we can call our soul time or our spiritual connection time with the earth. Yes.
In Buddhism, getting wasting time is getting caught up in our own obsessions and our own suffering and the anxiety that creates. And if you think about your daily life, it just drains you when you're so anxious. And so that is the way out of wasting time.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let me just go on here. We talk about conserving, and I spoke with the children. Yes. Please. Getting the sermon from here, and thank you. It's wonderful that you share your wisdom. I wanted to talk, because we talk with the children about not wasting resources. It's very interesting, too, that I hope when you talk with your children afterward, you'll find that they have picked up the bigger meaning. Although we're talking about resources and recycling and so on here, they can understand the concept of not wasting other things, not wasting our gifts and our talents and our energy. But it's interesting that the concept of not wasting, of conserving, is one that has gone through our culture as well for centuries. And if we look at it, there's a Shaker saying that goes, fix it up, wear it out, make it do, do without. It's not, as I used to think, it's not a statement that we need to suffer by giving up things. It's a spiritual statement of not getting caught up in all of this material stuff. We all know how hard it is not to get caught up in seeing something that we absolutely need and we absolutely have to go and buy. And somehow if we can't buy it today, by tomorrow, it doesn't seem to matter. We also have this saying, waste not, want not, which to me means that when we're more conscious, we don't seem to waste as much. When we're really aware of what we're doing, what we're eating, what we're wearing, what we're doing in the household and so on, we just are more conscious and less wasteful. I wanted to think about other things that we waste besides our time. Let's talk maybe a bit about our gifts and our talents. What does it mean to waste the gifts that you've been given? I don't know if you know, I've been told this is true, I'm not Jewish, but I've been told by Jewish friends that one of the greatest sins mentioned in the Talmud is the sin of not using the gifts that God gave you. What does that mean, to waste them?
Yeah. I think it can mean not to use them, but more importantly, not to use them to good purpose.
Bingo. Yes, not to use them to a good purpose. What are some of the gifts that you can think of that you might be wasting? I mean, I'm not asking for a personal confession, but of things where you are constrained, even though you know you could do something, you say, oh, no, I'm not the kind of person that could do that.
Creative interests?
Creative interests like what?
Creative
of any sort. Okay. Okay. I can remember back to when I became active in the peace movement, and some of you may have remembered this too, that at that time, this was 1984, women didn't often speak in public at, you know, church events or in large community events and so on. And most women in the early meetings that I went to, the women would say, oh, well, no, I'm not, get someone else to give the treasurer's report, or no, I can't do the secretarial report. That changed. In the first couple of years of those meetings of women activists, suddenly that was dropped, and people began to just speak out. And if you said, can you take on the job of treasurer, secretary, people would say, I don't know how, but I'll do it. So that's an example that I love talking about, is that change in the empowerment of women that happened, from my observations anyway, in the 80s. Any other gifts that you're thinking of that somehow we're not using? Yes. This whole business of confidence is a very interesting thing, because it's a matter of ego, isn't it, that we lack the confidence, instead of just saying, well, now I'll learn to read music. And there's something else that blocks us, that's some kind of a self thing. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Well, reading Robertson Davies' novel, I think it's a funny man, he really comes down very hard on people who are dilettantes, people who fancy themselves on something papers and so on. He says, leave that stuff to the people who really do it for something useful.
Okay, and what would be useful?
Well, let's say, I'll speak of myself, I'm an engineer, right? I worked in the department of science, which I contributed those skills hard earned over many years, and possibly would do great good at that point of painting a picture of Sunday or playing with my man. I find myself personally sometimes torn between those two ideas, but I know that my talents for painting pictures or making music are definitely second order.
Forgive me for coming out of that. I actually read something this morning about a client. It was Bob Sagan, who had been in college and had planned on being a doctor. And his drama teacher said, no, your French creators relates to medical, choice your talents in the medical field. And I thought that was abhorrent, because in any problem in the medical field, you need creative talents to be able to solve that. At the same time, I myself had a background in the medical field, which I never finished because I became a mother and a bunch of other. And I get a lot of criticism from my intellectual friends to say, I should have finished my degrees, but I feel very completed at this point, taking my 20 years raising my children. And I could have a lot of people say I'm wasting my gifts, and I see that I'm using different gifts in different ways. And I want to stand up for people who may be wasting gifts, in air quotes there, who are actually using them in other ways. Danielle Zerman, 3 out of 10, hasn't written, but has done amazing personal growth the last 5 years, so that when she does start writing again, it'll be much more grateful than it was before writing the book.
This is great. Thank you. Because what you're saying is that the gift that you have inside is not one that other people can judge. So people can say the same thing to me. Why are you wasting your time learning music at your age? You know, why aren't you doing something more medical, going off to refugee camps or something like that? And I have to make the decision myself. What is a waste? What is a waste? So the whole question is much deeper than it seems on the surface when we say waste nothing. Yes.
I did an aneurysm 9 years ago, and before I had the aneurysm, I still see how I can help a small group of people. And from getting one's point of view bigger to you can help other people a lot, but it's just drawing back and helping a few people a lot. But that's very different than,
yes,
than what you think of as helping. I mean,
oh, I think you're making yourself very clear that you have changed from the perspective of working in the larger sphere, and now you're doing similar work in helping other people, but in a closer range. And I think that's enormously productive and certainly not wasteful of your gifts. Thank you. Any other comments?
I'm much against the idea that I'd rather have 4 quarters than 100 pennies.
More 4 quarters than 100 pennies. Yes, thank you.
As you were Mary, I've been involved in these for a long time.
Hello again.
And in 1984, my gifts were needed in Canada as a professional teacher. So I went into the field, and I was in that field for 4.5 years, working with not necessarily in peace work, helping the poor people who were overpaying in the markets, who were unable to get food or even to grow it because land was being appropriated. And so I became very active there in the field that I was in, as well as teaching times off and on. It was a great experience. I recommend it.
What a wonderful way to use your gifts. Yes, thank you. Okay, I'm going to just start to wrap it up. There's one thing that I have to say, and that is about nuclear weapons. If I were to think of gathering up all of the ways that we waste everything in the world and put them all into one resource, it would be nuclear weapons. It's a colossal waste in every way of our physical resources, of our love and compassion, of our human understanding, of our possibilities for growth, of our potential for the future. It's the ultimate waste. Now, I'll just tell you one more thing, and that is about these funny bags that I make. I've been trying to get our Baha'i community to stop using paper plates and napkins and plastic glasses at our Baha'i events. So I suggested that we have potluck bags, and I know that you already do this, that you carry your own cups and cups and utensils and so on to all of these events. And it was very strongly resisted. They said, we're not carrying dirty plastic bags and all that stuff to these sacred events. So my sister said, well, they have to be beautiful bags. That's the thing. And then my neighbors, who are in the Church of the Nazarene, they received a donation of drapery samples from Quebec. And these drapery samples are so exquisite. I have more fabric in my house than anybody will ever need in 10 lifetimes. And I said, no, I definitely don't need more fabric. And they said, just look at this fabric first. And I looked at it and now have these 4 huge boxes of drapery samples, which I've made into potluck bags. And the Baha'is love them. I can tell you we've got 70 out of 100 people now have these bags. So they're made of 100% polyester, so they're completely washable. They were on their way to the landfill. That's why I'm telling you this. Inside the bags, there is a matching bag. The fabric comes in matching little collections. So this would be a brown collection. And one sample makes the back and one sample makes the front. And then there's a transparent one, and that makes the bag for the cutlery and the napkin. And there's a matching, in some way, bag or plate and cups. So I just thought I would show those to you. If you're interested, I don't have any more. I've sold them all out. But if you're interested and would like to order them, I've got an order form, and I make them for $20, and all of the money goes to the Baha'i International Youth Leadership Training Program. So I just put those out. You're welcome to look at them. They come in a huge range of colors, but there's no two the same, so I can't tell you. I can just tell you warm or cool colors. So I'm going to stop there, but I'm going to close with my favorite story, which is about my translator in Moscow. And many of you have heard this story before. Sasha Agapyev was this most amazing and brilliant interpreter who traveled with the doctors whenever we went over there. He was an enormous man. He's about 300 pounds, chain smoker, about 5 feet tall. And on my first trip, when I knew so little about Moscow, he said, as he was dropping me at my hotel, he said, "Mary, here is my phone number. If there is anything that you need while you are in Moscow, just call me, and I will tell you how to live without it." Thank you very much.